Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
President Biden's approval rating at the lowest of his presidency, just 39%. But what's changed in the AP North poll for May is the number of Democrats losing faith. Now, only 2 in 10 adults say the U.S. is heading in the right direction or the economy is good. Both down from 3 in 10 a month ago, mostly Democrats. Less than 1 in 10 Republicans approve of the president or his handling of the economy.
Would you come my way?
This is the Trevor Carey Show.
Did you burn out to the air?
On the Valley's Power Talk.
Gas prices are expected to keep rising this summer. President Biden is allowing oil and gas development on federal lands to resume, breaking a campaign promise he made. But the plan makes way fewer acres available for drilling than initially proposed, and it increases royalties oil and gas companies have to pay. Secretary Holland told the Senate committee the Interior Department will release a new 5-year plan for offshore drilling by the end of June, but there will likely be a gap between the current plan and that new plan. Secretary Holland wouldn't say whether the new plan would include any new leases for new offshore drilling.
Well, we have breaking news. This from ABC 30. Suspect who was barricaded inside Save Mart has escaped, the police chief says. Authorities say the burglary suspect who led deputies on a chase from Fresno's River Park and barricaded himself inside a Save Mart grocery store near Knees and First has escaped. So there you go. Fresno Police Chief Paco Balderrama said Fresno's SWAT officers had gone into the store with their canines to search the building and nearby businesses, but they did not find him as of Friday afternoon. So that's not great. That's really not great. Anyway, just to start hour two on a bright and cheery note, John Girardi in for Trevor today. You know, it's a talk radio show. We got to talk about the news and stuff. Can't say I've got 15 minutes of great commentary on this chase, but, you know, hey. If you're out there around Kasner Intermediate School, around Knees and First, you know, stay safe. Keep your head on a swivel. Bad guy on the loose. And apparently this has been kind of a crappy day as far as, you know, apprehending this perp. Anyway, let's move on to cheerier business. Namely, the continuing environmental madness that drives our politicians here in the state of California. And I wanted to touch on a little flashpoint of this. This is not a huge story, but it's a story. Environmentalists oppose more life for California nuclear power plant. It's a story in GV Wire from the Associated Press. Dozens of environmental and anti-nuclear organizations expressed opposition Tuesday to any attempt, to extend the life of California's last operating nuclear power plant, challenging suggestions that its electricity is needed to meet potential future shortages in the nation's most populous state. Last month, Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom raised the possibility that the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant, which sits on a coastal bluff halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles, could keep running beyond a scheduled closing by 2025. His office said the governor is in favor of keeping all options on the table to ensure we have a reliable electricity grid. In a letter to Newsom, groups that included the San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace, I'm guessing at this point they're the grandmothers for peace, if they're still, you know, if they're still on about nuclear power being so dangerous. The Oregon Conservancy Foundation. What the heck does the Oregon Conservancy Foundation have to do with it? Hey, Oregon Conservancy Foundation, go back to Oregon. The Snake River Alliance and the Ohio Nuclear Free... Whoa. Oh, all of a sudden, Oregon and Ohio want to have commentary on California nuclear plants? Get the bleep out of here. Ohio, go back to the Big Ten. You don't need to mess around in the Pac-12. And the Ohio Nuclear Free Network said the plant is old, unsafe, and too close to earthquake faults that pose a threat to the twin reactors. Old, unsafe, and too close to earthquake faults. Are they talking about the incontinence of the anti-nuclear protesters who are out there? Anyway, all right. Just being mean. I just imagine everyone who's still on about the dangers of nuclear power has to, at this point, be in their 70s and 80s, and they're still holding the same, like, faded signs that they were holding in 1984 after Chernobyl to just wreck the possibility of the United States having clean energy resources through nuclear power because, you know, the Soviet Union was so stupid that they built the whole reaction to Chernobyl was so stupid. All right, for those who don't know, Chernobyl in 1984, Chernobyl, Ukraine. The Soviet Union had a power plant in the town of Chernobyl in Ukraine. It had a horrible disaster happen, nuclear something blew up in the reactor. The core of the reactor was exposed. Nuclear material blew all over Europe. It was really bad. A bunch of people in that area in Ukraine would wind up getting cancer and dying, killed several hundred people. It was the worst nuclear disaster in world history. And basically after that, it sort of killed the drive for nuclear energy throughout the United States. That was like the signature thing. The problem was that no one talked about was that the Soviets built the stupidest nuclear power plant in human history. Basically, the outside walls of the nuclear power plant, they were about as thick as the walls of the Power Talk studio that I'm standing in here, which, you know, for the Power Talk studios is a very reasonably thick wall that I'm looking at right here, but it's not good for a nuclear reactor, okay? If we got a nuclear reactor, anyone with a brain building a nuclear reactor who isn't a Soviet is going to build it with a really thick concrete wall on the outside to make sure that what happened at Chernobyl doesn't happen. So the idea that nuclear power plants are all these just tinderboxes waiting to go up of nuclear disaster and horrible, awful nuclear waste, which nuclear waste nowadays is produced in very small and very controllable amounts, it's idiotic. Basically, everybody who ever protested against the construction of a nuclear power plant probably did more to harm the environment in the long run than all of the Ford Excursion owners combined. For those of you who remember the Ford Excursion, it was basically like a Ford F-250 in SUV mode. It was like the biggest, it was one step bigger than the Ford Expedition, which was in turn a step bigger than the Ford Explorer. Anyway, those of you who know about the Ford Excursion, you know what I'm talking about. All right. So anyway, the liberals have been mad about nuclear power since the 80s. I imagine they still have the same faded signs that they were holding in the 1980s, saying, no nuclear power, you can't hug your children with nuclear arms, etc. The Democratic governor, Newsom, has no direct authority over the operating license for the Diablo Canyon power plant. He floated the idea that owner Pacific Gas and Electric could seek a share of $6 billion in federal funding the Biden administration established to rescue nuclear plants at risk of closing. PG&E, which in 2016 decided to shutter the plant by 2025, did not directly address Newsom's suggestions at the time or say whether the company would consider seeking federal dollars to remain open beyond the scheduled closing. Okay, now this is all part of Gavin Newsom's grand goal of having California be totally green, having all of its power be produced by clean sources by, I think his threshold date for this is like, I think it's like 2040. And then, like, by 2035, we'll have no gas-consuming vehicles being sold in California anymore. So he's got all these green benchmarks. But it's so hilarious how, even with this utopian green vision, the actual practical ways you could get there, he's like, no, he's not enthusiastic about it. So hydropower plants with dams not considered fully to be green according to the standards of how much of our power has to be produced by green sources. In spite of the fact that hydropower is the only really effective way of producing a lot of electricity with genuinely zero emissions. with no byproducts. But no, the environmentalists don't like that. Why? Because the fishies get caught up in it, and oh, it's not good for the fishies when you got a hydropower plant with the spinning turbines that the water's spinning around. So they don't like that, in spite of the fact that it is a purely green source of producing massive amounts of energy. Nope, not good enough. Nuclear power. The only thing nuclear power produces is nowadays very small, very controllable amounts of nuclear waste. Yes, you can't do a lot with it, but it's really small, it's really controllable, and we have a lot better plans for how we can store and dispose of nuclear waste than we do for carbon emissions, the plastic that we're dumping into oceans, etc. But no, we don't like nuclear power, in spite of the fact that many countries in Europe are totally powered by nuclear power. Doesn't produce any emissions into the atmosphere. Totally clean. But we don't like nuclear power. Why? Because Reagan liked nuclear power, and people in conservatives in the 80s liked nuclear power, and we remember Chernobyl, and so we've just gone on this environmental kick that nuclear power is the most evil thing, the most terrible thing, the most horrible thing, in spite of the fact that it was clearly the answer. It was clearly the answer to a future of clean energy production, but nope, we don't care. We don't care. So that's the environmental future. And I think it has a lot to do, I can almost develop this in the next segment, but it has a lot to do with whom does Newsom serve? All right. I've done this a bunch of times, but I think you can understand Gavin Newsom a lot by understanding his sort of life story, which is characterized by his lifelong friendship with the Getty family. So Gordon Getty, who is sort of Newsom's generation of Gettys, and yes, that Getty family, like the Getty Museum Gettys, who made billions of dollars in the oil industry, oil industry, the Getty Oil Company. The Gettys and the Newsoms have been lifelong family friends. Newsom's dad was a lawyer for the Getty Oil Company. Newsom and Gordon Getty are lifelong friends. Gordon Getty invested in all of Gavin Newsom's businesses that he had before he entered into politics. Newsom was introduced into politics via Gordon Getty, who was buddies with Willie Brown, longtime mayor of San Francisco, Speaker of the California House, California State Assembly, major power broker in San Francisco politics. His two most prominent scions right now are Vice President Kamala Harris and Gavin Newsom. So Gavin Newsom gets introduced to Willie Brown via the Gettys. Newsom is funded by the Gettys and several other very wealthy families in San Francisco for his whole life, his whole political career. He's a San Francisco County Commissioner, County Board of Supervisors. He becomes mayor of San Francisco for 7 years, gets national recognition for violating the law and giving marriage licenses to same-sex couples. He becomes the lieutenant governor for 8 years, spends 8 years combing his hair, whitening his teeth, smiling for cameras, doing nothing, which is basically what the lieutenant governor's job is, do nothing and wait for the governor to term out. He finally runs for governor, gets elected governor, becomes the most powerful governor in history because basically we've given him all this pandemic power that the state legislature refuses to take away from him. So Newsom owes his entire adult life to the Gettys and people like the Gettys, the five families of old San Francisco money politics. So he does what they want, and what they want is to assuage their guilty oil company owning consciences, I think, with all this green stuff. This is the way that they feel good, is by doing the things the Sierra Club likes. Promoting this radical environmental agenda, this crazy environmental agenda that irrationally says hydropower is not good, nuclear power is no good, but that's what Newsom does. 559-230-4242, 559-230-4242. John Girardi in for Trevor on Power Talk.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
All right, Beth from Fresno, you're on the Trevor Carey Show with John Girardi talking about Newsom and the Gettys and all them. How's it going, Beth?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What's up?
Well, it's just interesting because I've been kind of talking about, I've looked into this a long time ago when the pandemic first started about Getty and his ties with the grandson to the Getty family. They went to high school together.
Oh, yeah.
He got married to that chick that's dating Trump's son.
Yeah, Kimberly Guilfoyle. Yeah. Newsom's ex-wife and now Donald Trump Jr.'s main squeeze. Yeah.
And which is kind of weird. But anyways, also to... I thought he was still an investor in his Two Jacks winery up in Napa and the bar he has in San Francisco, but maybe not.
Well, I don't know. I don't know as a politician what holdings Newsom still has in his businesses, but yeah, the Gordon Getty invested. I think Newsom had like 12 different businesses that he ran before he entered into politics, and Getty invested in like 11 of them or something like that.
Then,
like, yeah.
Yeah, and somehow Pelosi's husband is involved with them too.
Right.
I can't remember. Is like a relative or as well. But then it's really interesting because how Getty made his money was in the Depression, kind of like what happened with the pandemic, mm-hmm. where he went in and he bought up all these tiny oil companies, and a couple of them had the technology, but they hadn't copyright or gotten patents on it yet.
Sure.
And then he took that technology and went to Saudi Arabia, sold it to the
Saudis and made a bazillion dollars.
The royal family and was able to have a lease on the land for so many years, 50 years or something like that, so that he can make money. Anyway, just kind of interesting because you wonder if that's why, like, what did Gavin Newsom and his people, his family buy up during the pandemic? Because a lot of people don't think people make money, but there's actually people that's the only time they make money and they invest in stuff their income is during disaster pandemic.
Yeah. And it's also, depression. You know, one of the things that Newsom sort of, made famous and you wonder if there's some kind of wink, wink deals is, and this, none of this stuff is reportable as campaign expenditures, but there are these, it's called behested gifts or behested contributions or something, where basically you have these private companies who pay gazillions of dollars for some kind of public state project that Newsom gets to plaster his face all over. And it's not a campaign contribution, but you can have, like, the CEO of Netflix gave a gazillion dollars for this, and Newsom set records for, he got like something like, it was like in the nine figures range for how much money he was getting from these entities. And most of it was for different kinds of COVID relief projects. So you do sort of wonder with how much, like, the CEO of Netflix gave Newsom's, you know, anti-recall campaign and how much he was giving for some of these things. And I'm sure it wasn't just the CEO of Netflix, but all these other bigwigs who were just pouring money into Newsom's various coffers. Like, is he standing to make a bunch of money off all this? Anyway, Beth,
well, his wife's involved in all these different nonprofit things too a lot of money in.
Yeah, and you give a bunch. Yeah. All of a sudden, you give a bunch of money to Newsom's wife's nonprofit, and then the governor signs a bill that you like. Anyway, thank you so much, Beth. I appreciate the call. But yeah, there's all that kind of weird sleaze influence peddling that happens. In Sacramento, especially, that's a classic move, is which a lot of politicians in Sacramento are kind of involved with this. The whole, my wife runs a nonprofit organization, and all of a sudden, this insurance company, who has a piece of legislation that my committee is looking at, all of a sudden, this insurance company gives my wife's nonprofit corporation a huge bunch of cash, huh? Golly gee willikers. What might have caused that? I don't know why I'm doing a Jimmy Stewart impression. But what could have caused that to happen? Why would someone be giving my wife's nonprofit corporation a whole bunch of money? Gosh, maybe I should vote in favor of this piece of legislation that they want me to vote in favor of. There's all kinds of this sleazy, weird influence peddling. These behested gifts where you can put your politician face on some public project. Oh, it's a COVID relief project for, hi, I'm Gavin Newsom, and I'm supporting this this COVID relief project. This ad paid for by Netflix. This ad paid for by, California Teachers Association. Whatever it is. But yeah, there's a lot of, a lot of people thought, well, if you pass McCain-Feingold, those of you longtime talk radio listeners remember McCain-Feingold. It was like this big piece of legislation that George W. Bush reluctantly signed because he thought the Supreme Court would say it was unconstitutional, and newsflash, it didn't. It was going to reform campaign finance laws, put limits on how much individual people could contribute. And everyone said, oh, it's going to take all the money out of politics. It's going to be this great thing of campaign finance reform. Get money out of politics. Well, it didn't. all it did was it changed the way and nature of how money gets involved in politics. I mean, look, I'm hearing ads, political ads for a given candidate in a primary. So let's say you've got a really Trumpy Republican running in a primary and a less Trumpy Republican running in a primary, and maybe the Democrats think, well, if we give a bunch of money to the Trumpy Republican, he's easier to beat, like in California or something. So you'll have these campaign ads come out, and at the end of it, they have to say who paid for it, and it's paid for by some super PAC that's supporting a big liberal. So here's an ad, a pro-Trumpy candidate ad, paid for by a super PAC that's backing the liberal running in the race. I mean, it's obscene, the ways in which people are using money in politics. Anyway, I could go on and on about, newsflash, people in politics like and abuse money. Not exactly news at 11. All right, we're going to talk about price gouging and monopolies. That's what Joe Biden thinks is wrong with the economy right now. It's not inflation. It's just greedy businesses engaging in price gouging. This is John Girardi filling in for Trevor on Power Talk.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This episode is made possible by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough outcomes. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you thrive. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
John Girardi in for Trevor today. Thank you all so much for listening so kindly. My day job, I'm the director at Right to Life of Central California and the Obria Medical Clinics of Central California. You can go to rtlcc.org to learn more about Right to Life. You can go to obriafresno.org, obriafresno.org, to learn about our pro-life prenatal health care clinic that's here to serve women in the San Joaquin Valley, provide them with great, high-quality prenatal health care. All right. Let's talk about President Biden and the thing he doesn't like talking about squarely, which is inflation. Now, Biden's been trying out everything. Not everything like to actually fix the problem of inflation. He's been trying out everything PR-wise to deflect any blame from himself for inflation. And what has he done? Well, he's tried calling it Putin's price hike. and trying to hope that Americans have the attention span of a gnat and don't notice that inflation was starting well before Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine. He's trying to, now the latest thing, the latest turn, is to call it greedflation. Greedflation. That what this is, and this is Elizabeth Warren's been wild with this line. Elizabeth Warren's been saying what this is about, it's about greedy corporations deciding to jack up prices. They're concentrating their market share, taking over more industries, more monopolies and oligopolies, and using their in their greed. And, oh, they just want to jack up prices on America, and they're just inflating prices on everybody. It's greedflation. And especially it's big meat inflation is the infelicitous term that is being used because it kind of sounds dirty. The not very great term that they're using as Agent Squires questions my use of fancy words like infelicitous. It sounds kind of dirty because they literally have referred to this as big meat and inflation because they're taking aim at, I guess, beef producers and pork and poultry producers for inflating prices. Because all of a sudden in late 2021, all these corporations decided to be greedy. They weren't greedy before that. No one thought of, hey, let's increase prices so we could have more profit. No. No one had thought of that idea until 2021. This is what the Biden administration is expecting you to believe. And that oil companies are charging high prices for gas, not because of natural market forces that are causing them to increase the prices. No, they're price gouging you. That's what they're doing. So I think this is a good opportunity to explain some basic concepts of monopolies and oligopolies, just so you can understand. And monopolies, oligopolies, and inflation. All right, let's talk about it. The basic idea of inflation is there's too much money in the economy, so the value of the dollar overall goes down. All right. If the value of the dollar is down, then costs go up. Because if a dollar is worth only one unit of value, but then the value of the dollar goes down, so it's only worth 0.5 units of value, well, now you have to charge $2 for something instead of one. All right. And it's clear that the huge increases in federal spending that we saw over the first, probably towards the end of the Biden years and the first year, towards the end of the Trump year, rather, in the first year of Biden, has led to tons of money being in the economy, including probably things like all those direct payments that Trump and Biden were giving away. Probably some of that has contributed to inflation. All this tons and tons and tons of federal spending we've had has overheated the economy and led to inflation. On top of that, the Biden administration has done a lot of things that have adversely impacted supply, particularly the supply of energy resources. The Biden administration has limited American oil and gas production in a bunch of different ways. In fact, one could argue that Biden set the stage for Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Why? Because he cut off the Keystone Pipeline. We had to start buying oil from Russia. So we were buying hundreds of billions of dollars of oil from Russia. Or we were buying billions of dollars, rather, from Russia. And then when Russia invades Ukraine, well, guess what happens? Americans have to pay for it at the pump because we became dependent on Russian oil. So by limiting the supply, okay, when you limit supply, but demand goes up or demand stays stable, little bit of supply, but a lot of demand, what happens to the price? Price goes up. If a lot of people want something, but there's only a little bit of it, people will offer to pay more and more and more, and price goes up, okay? So Biden limited our supply of oil. Our demand stayed the same. And so guess what? Prices are going up. And when price goes up for oil, when price goes up for gas, when price goes up for energy, that makes the price of everything go up. It makes the price of food go up. Got to truck the food to the grocery store. It makes the price of all kinds of things throughout American life go up. That, in addition with the value of the dollar going down, all of this is reasonably viewed as the outcome of many of the decisions that President Biden has made in his, you know, we're now at, what are we at now? We're at about month 16 of Joe Biden. In fact, I think, yeah, today is the 16-month anniversary of his, the 16-month anniversary of his inauguration as President of the United States. Hooray. Yeah, let's all throw confetti in the air. Wave our flags, 16 glorious months. Now, that's the actual explanation for why stuff costs more. What's the Biden explanation? Well, the Biden explanation, the Liz Warren explanation, is that corporations are just greedy. They're acting like monopolies and oligopolies. All right. So what's a monopoly? A monopoly is when one entity dominates an industry. Okay. Imagine there's only one gas company. What would likely happen if there's only one gas company? Well, if there's one gas company, it doesn't have any competition. If you don't have competition, and it's a basic thing that people need, well, you have every incentive just to increase the price, just to maximize your own profit. People need this service. They have to pay for it. I have no risk to myself, no other company trying to take my market share, take my customers, take my business. So I can just increase prices all I want. Until people finally just give up and say, all right, forget it, I'll just ride a bike. You can raise prices to the breaking point where people stop using the service altogether. What's an oligopoly? Oligopoly is kind of like a monopoly. Monopoly, mono, one in Greek. Oligopoly comes from the Greek word oligoi, which means a few. So instead of one business controlling an industry, you only have a few businesses controlling an industry. And what do? They collude with each other. They said, hey guys, instead of competing against each other and cutting our prices in competitive ways so that we can gain more market share, why don't we all three of us companies in this industry, let's just all be content with our market share. We're making plenty of money. And instead of competing with each other and trying to cut prices and undercut each other, why don't we all increase our prices at the same time in a coordinated effort so that we can all maximize our profits? That's an oligopoly. Now, by the way, that's illegal to do. Okay, companies can't do that. We have antitrust laws in the United States that allow the federal government to break up monopolies and allow you to be prosecuted if you're the head of one of three companies that dominate an industry and you email the other two CEOs and say, hey, let's just all increase our prices at the same time so we can maximize profits. That's illegal. So Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden think you are so stupid that they think you'll be convinced that the reason your gas prices are high is because the CEO of Chevron and Exxon and, you know, all the big oil companies, BP, whatever, they're all just emailing each other and saying, hey, why don't we all increase our gas prices at the same time? That's what we're doing. We're just gouging prices. That's not what's happening. There are market forces at play which are causing prices to go up. And whose policies helped contribute to this situation where the dollar is worthless, where there's too much money in the economy leading to inflation, where there's not enough supply? It's Joe Biden who's at fault. All right, when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about Miss Lizzie Warren and her challenges with math. That's next on The Trevor Carey Show. John Girardi filling in for Trevor.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
All right, let's conclude this hour with a little talking about Elizabeth Warren. Maybe my favorite member of the Senate for unintentional comedic purposes. Now, the best thing Donald Trump ever did was start calling her Pocahontas just nonstop. And I couldn't believe how the media was able to try to turn that around to say Trump was racist for calling her Pocahontas. She claimed for years to be Native American, got a job at Harvard Law School, in part because she lied on her application to make it look out like she was some kind of racial minority. And she's not. She's like one. She then wound up taking like a DNA test or some, you know, one of those services where you spit into a tube and then a corporation has your DNA forever. Just if you, in case you want to know how I feel about those stupid, you know, those stupid DNA services to figure out what kind of a white person you are. She found out she was 1/1024th Native American, which I'd venture that almost every white person listening to this radio broadcast is at least that much Native American also. Wouldn't be shocked if I were 1/1024th Native American, at least. Heck, I might be 1/512th Native American, I might venture so far as to say. Anyway, Elizabeth Warren, who is as insincere and as bafflingly stupid as you could imagine a Harvard Law School professor to be, was really upset last about a week ago. The Senate was voting on what's called the Women's Health Protection Act. Another name for it should be the Unrestricted Abortion Nationwide Act. It's really what it is. Basically, what it would do is even if Roe v. Wade is overturned and every state is allowed to pass its own laws regulating abortion, what this law would have done is it would have imposed a new federal law mandating that abortion has to be legal for all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason, essentially what we have right now under the regime of Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. So effectively, this is a law that's designed to make the country Roe v. Wade overturn proof. Elizabeth Warren was mad because they had a vote on it in the Senate and this piece of legislation lost. Lost by a 49-51 vote. 51 people voted against it. All 50 Republicans plus Joe Manchin. Only 49 people voted in favor of it, all 49 of them Democrats. Elizabeth Warren seemingly got confused and said that this is so horrible that the minority is able to block the will of the majority, and that's why we got to get rid of the filibuster rule in the Senate. Now, the filibuster rule in the Senate is a way where if you're in the minority, as long as you have 41 votes, you can stop a piece of legislation from passing. For most things in the Senate, you can't advance a piece of legislation until 60 senators agree to stop debate. So, effectively, in the Senate, for many, many things, not all things, but most things, you need 60 votes to advance a piece of legislation, not simply 51, not a simple majority, 50 plus the tiebreaker. And so Elizabeth Warren was going on and on about how, oh, this is so terrible that the minority is able, that the majority is blocked from doing what it wants to do, ignoring the fact that her legislation she was angry about, again, a bill to codify Roe v. Wade, it lost. It didn't have a majority of the votes. It wasn't filibustered. It just lost. It only had 49 of the 100 votes. Where I come from, that's called a minority. The people voting no, they had 51 of the 100 votes. Where I come from, that's called a majority. So it shouldn't shock you that a woman who cannot understand the basic equation of 49 is less than 51. So the little arrow there, it points towards 49. It's 49 less than 51. The little arrow should point towards the 49. I always thought that was a pretty easy day in math class when we had to do the greater than or less than signs. A woman who doesn't apparently have the math expertise to handle that, it shouldn't shock you that her economic prognostications are faulty. That maybe inflation is caused by something other than beef, poultry, and pork producers getting together and saying, you know what would be a great thing if we were greedy? You know what would be a great thing? If instead of trying to compete with each other and get a better market share and trying to keep our prices down in order to increase our market share, what if we all just, in a coordinated effort, did something illegal, colluded with each other to increase prices? It's like she's basically accusing almost every industry in America that is experiencing inflation, which is almost every industry in America, of engaging in unlawful, anti-competitive antitrust law violating collusionary price increases, that's the reason why stuff costs more, not inflation. Not the huge influx of money into the economy that makes the value of a dollar go down. Not Joe Biden doing various things to limit supply, to hamper supply, environmental regulations, limiting how much oil we can drill for, making the price of gas go up. No. Had nothing to do with any of that. Instead, it's all just greedy corporations. That's Elizabeth Warren's answer. All right, when we return, the Archbishop of San Francisco says no communion for Nancy Pelosi. We'll dig into it next. This is John Girardi filling in for Trevor on Power Talk.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.